As we're looking upon our lives, we think about the best run businesses or organization or families going to be dependent upon high moral character, upon standards, upon clear goals and expectations from those below them. And so you rely on your superiors to fulfill your responsibilities. You depend upon them. Now you might say, first of all, preacher, you don't live in the real world today. Well, you can't rely on very much as you look upon this world. Well, you know, they might be wrong, or I think my way is better than those who are in charge. And in a sense, you might be right there as far as that goes. But the whole thing is that as we look upon what we have been singing about, we can truly rely on God, for He's the creator of the universe. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent, as we think about even here as we're gathered together on the first day of the week before our God. And He knows even the intents in our thoughts, what we are thinking right now as we are worshiping God. And the whole thing is that as we look upon His word being infallible, inerrant, and inspired, that God is going to keep all of His promises, that we can truly rely upon Him. The whole thing is that as far as we are alive here today, by God's grace and mercy, and as you think about the last few days, as far as the storms on Thursday, yes, it did some damage, but as far as I know, not really loss of life. So we're thankful for God's grace and mercy to be alive here this day. The thing is, as we make application to ourselves, how do I really know if I'm relying on God or I'm relying on myself? We hope and pray that each and every one will examine yourselves. As I think about many times, look upon the preachers looking at the audience and examining them. No, as I go through and study through the scriptures to examine myself by the scriptures. What a powerful passage it is to think about, and hopefully, especially if you're young, to remember this passage throughout your life and to memorize it and to think about it. And as we look upon all of our lives, how important it is to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and what will He do? And He will make straight your paths. Do not be wise, or be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. There is so much in this passage you want to try to highlight concerning the problems. And we're either one of the two here. We're either trusting the Lord with all our heart, or we're leaning or depending upon our own understanding. And so as we look and examine our life, are you relying on the Lord or upon yourself? And so we ask these questions. And the book of Proverbs is something that is so good to study every day of your life. For you open up the book in Proverbs chapter 1, we see the purpose of the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 and following, the scripture says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles." When you think about the Bible, and as we examine our life, are you listening so as to understand the Word of God? The idea is that we can be confident and we can be sure. And as we think about understanding the Word of God, we're talking about all of our senses concerning understanding with all of our heart. The intellect, the emotions, and will, and conscience. as we think about all being aligned as far as God creating this concerning our desires. It's going to come down to what our desires are. Do I really listen so as to understand my God's word, or am I going to try to justify myself? Am I going to try to win an argument? Am I going to try to prove the other person wrong so that I'll be proven right? If I'm trusting the Lord with all of my heart, I will listen or read so as to understand God's word, for God made it understandable. And the book of Proverbs is, no matter what your age, that you can understand it and you will increase in learning as you put these principles into practice in your everyday life. You think about the failures of the Israelites in the wilderness, and then when they were in the promised land and had to go into captivity to learn the lesson, and now have the opportunity to go back to the promised land. And here they're all gathered together, and Ezra is there in Nehemiah chapter 8. And here Ezra, the scribe, told them to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. And so Ezra brought, the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women. And notice it, and all could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And just a side note concerning in our generation, it's sort of like we've got to have, quote unquote, I'm in religious world, children's church. And so separate from the assembly. And you see here, they're gathered, they're all gathered together here. And the only thing is, as far as learning, as far as worshiping God and understanding what's going on, and as far as parents training their children. And notice, as the scripture says, he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday. So we can't listen to the word of God that long. Don't you know that as far as in our society, it's dependent upon, here you watch the TV programs, and so you can't have more than 30 minutes of concentration. No, as you think about the word of God being read here to those who could understand from early morning until midday, if I'm calculating that right, that's probably about 5 or 6 hours, probably about 6 hours. In the presence of the men and the women and those who can understand, and the what? And the ears of all the people were bored, and they were tired, and they were interested. No, the scripture says they were attentive to the book of the law. And here, when Ezra opened the book in verse 5, in the sight of the people, and all the people stood, and they blessed the Lord God, verse 6. In verse 8, they read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people, what? The people understood the reading. Could they understand the word of God when they were there? Yes, they were attentive to it. They desired it. They recognized the reason that they went away from the promised land, that they were cast into captivity, was because of their disobedience, because they refused to listen so as to understand and obey the word of God. We look in the New Testament. This passage had been referenced. We didn't turn to it in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, concerning the Apostle Paul receiving the divine revelation of God's word. In Ephesians chapter 3. He said, the mystery was made known to me by revelation, verse 3, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, and as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. When you read it, you can understand it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 13. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 13, the scripture says, we are not writing to you anything other than what you can what? What you read and understand, and I hope you will fully understand. The whole thing is concerning, do I desire it? Do I want it? That's going to depend upon your humility. That am I truly relying on the Lord or am I relying on myself? If so, you're putting this into practice, God will be able to guide you to salvation. You think about the example of Timothy here. He learned from his mother and grandmother from 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, which is referenced here in chapter 3, in verses 14 and following. The Apostle Paul is about to be executed for the cause of Christ. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he mentions how bad the situations were. As we think about how can you rely on the Lord when we are going through so much, so many problems and so many issues and so many difficulties, so many distractions and so much evil. Well, he told them evil men will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, and you're going to suffer persecution. You, however, verse 14, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. Notice what they're able to do, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You notice here concerning how important it is to start out early. And you think about parents training their children and reading so as they understand. And here you showed forth the good examples before them. And Lois and Eunice said, what about the father and the grandfather? You think about even a mother and a grandmother can be that influence. And if you have a divided household, it can still work. God's plan will work if we work His plan. Timothy was obviously receptive to the teaching of the gospel. And when the Apostle Paul and Silas went on the preaching journey, Acts 13 and Acts 14, even though it isn't specifically mentioned there, he would have obeyed the gospel during that period of time. In Acts chapter 16, he has this influence among Lystra and Iconium and Derbe, so that the Apostle Paul desires to take him on his preaching journey. And so as you think about, he was relying on the Lord. He wasn't relying on himself. He wasn't saying, well, my father and my grandfather, they're obviously not reading so as to understand the scriptures, and so I think I'll follow them. I think I'll follow that example. No, he relied on the Lord. He didn't rely on himself. He didn't rely on his father and his grandfather. You think about the Ethiopian eunuch here in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8. Here he's gone a long journey to worship at Jerusalem. He's in his chariot. He's got a very important position in Acts chapter 8. And here the angel Lord told Philip to go on this road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And here's the eunuch, the court official of Candace, verse 27. He was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked this question. You think about concerning a good question to ask other people and they're reading the Bible. Do you understand what you're reading? Isn't that a good opening? Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, showing humility, wanting to rely on the Lord and not on himself, because a person who is just relying on himself is saying, I know it all. I don't need anybody to teach me. No, he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this, and that was read by Brother Jeff as before we partook of the Lord's Supper from Isaiah chapter 53, like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. The eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does a prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? When you think about somebody who is listening to the word or so as to understand, will ask questions. That's a wonderful blessing about those who are little children. Little children asking questions in order to learn. How sad and tragic it is to whereby when questions aren't asked, a desire to learn, no, I'm going to depend upon myself. I know. Well, do we? As you think about concerning Ephesians, if you do, no. Iron sharpens iron. When you think about the Word of God, that is going to help us to increase in learning as we're studying the Scriptures together, especially as we're talking about salvation. And here, Philip opened his mouth, and what did he do? And beginning from this Scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. What a beautiful hymn, "Tell Me the Story of Jesus." Tells all about his life as we think about the words of that hymn, teaching and admonishing one another and teaching the truth about Jesus. And we think about God's love for us and his sacrifice, his willingness to endure that so that we could be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth and his death, burial, resurrection. In verse 36, as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" Brett had gone into great detail, as we talked about, from Romans chapter 2, and talking about the circumcision of the heart. A circumcision of the heart, being buried with Christ in baptism, we're raised up through faith in the working of God. Not our own working, but faith in the working of God. "Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you shall not enter the kingdom of God," in John 3, verse 5. Preaching Jesus includes being baptized in water. Otherwise, he wouldn't have asked the question. So he was relying on the Lord and not himself and not as far as if you would be around today, what denominational preachers would say, false teachers would say. You don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. Oh, we strictly want to go by the Word of God. God will guide you to salvation, but you have to have the desire with all your heart. And so, the Scripture says, "Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is Son of God?" He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down in the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. Burial. It's a burial. And when you do that, you're born again. Dying to that old person of sin and rising to walk in newness of life. He was relying on the Lord and not relying on himself and on his own understanding. If not, what is going to happen? You're going to rely on what you think is right or what you've been taught and be on the road to ruin. Because it might seem right to you. This seems right to me. But what is its end? Listen to the book of Proverbs here. There's a way which seems right to a person, but its end is the way of death. And he repeats that two times. Proverbs 14, verse 12, and also Proverbs 16, verse 25. Also, concerning question being asked concerning how do you know whether you're relying on the Lord or relying on yourself? Are you fearing God and turning away from evil? What is the beginning of knowledge? The ABCs, right? As far as the ABCs of the Scriptures, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What do fools do? They despise wisdom and instruction. And then he talks about concerning obeying your parents. And here, as you think about fearing God, and you see the illustration in Proverbs chapter 1 of this passage in Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 7, for here in going back to Proverbs chapter 1, we're not going to have time to read through all the Scriptures, but give it highlight. "Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Forsake not your mother's teaching, for they're a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." Hearing so as to understand. Do I want to hear it? Or am I going to rebel against my parents who are teaching the Word of God and holding me to certain standards that maybe my friends aren't having to deal with? My son, If sinners entice you, what? Do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol. Let us swallow them alive and whole like those who go down in the pit. We'll find all kinds of precious good. We'll fill our house with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, don't walk in the way with them. Hold back your feet from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and so on. You see, concerning the illustration and the point, because sinners are going to try to entice you. And how tragic it is just to read just a few days ago in our local newspaper, and it's been happening for a while, concerning fentanyl and concerning the great danger. High school students, Carrollton, 10 students overdosing on fentanyl. And the one who was the drug dealer just openly had it on their app. And here are these high school students that are clicking on it to get this fentanyl. And there's at least three that are dead, according to the reports. You think about concerning, if you fear God, you're going to turn away from evil. This is dangerous. I'm losing my life at such a young age. How tragic that is. But the whole thing is, if you're fearing God, you're going to turn away from evil, concerning sinners enticing you to do evil, to go drink alcohol, go do drugs. I'm not going to do that, because you know what the Bible says? It's going to lead me down the wrong path to torment, to suffering in my life. In chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, in this passage, it talks about the things that God hates. In Proverbs chapter 6, a lot of these have to deal with the tongue here. In Proverbs chapter 6, the tongue is such a danger. James 3 goes into great detail about that, which we studied with Kyle a while back. In Proverbs chapter 6, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. The whole thing is that if we know the word of God, if we're fearing God, if we respect him, we're going to turn away from evil. We're going to know the truth from error and be able to discern that in our own mind, because you look upon concerning those who are liars out there. Liars are going to be deceived by liars. You don't want to fear God. You're going to either go along with them or just compromise with them or be deceived by them as a result. In Proverbs 8 and verse 13, the fear of the Lord is what? It's hatred of evil, pride and arrogance in the way of evil, and perverted speech I hate. And so the great danger concerning lies that are told. And we think about the dangers of alcohol. Proverbs 23, 29 through 35 goes into great detail. But just Proverbs 20 and verse 1, the scripture says, wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Well, that's, in a way, that should be an obvious point, but it's not obvious to a lot of people, because some people would say, well, drinking alcohol socially, one drink isn't going to hurt you. It isn't going to kill you. If that's true, why does the Bible say don't even look on it when it is red, when it swirls around in the cup in Proverbs chapter 23? Also in Proverbs chapter 22, who are you hanging around? In Proverbs chapter 22, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man. Why? Lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. See, the blessings are concerning our fearing God and turning away from evil. What will he do? If so, he'll make your path straight. He will deliver you. He will deliver you from the perverted man and the forbidden woman in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 12 and following in those passages of scripture. In Proverbs chapter 4, just in the next chapter after what we studied in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight, for I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will give. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. So you're minded back to Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9 concerning obeying your parents and having this graceful garland on your head. In chapter 15 and verse 21, Solomon also says this. He said, folly is joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight ahead. We recognize, as you talk about that straight and narrow path, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Who are they going to be the ones who go to heaven? They're following that straight and narrow path. Here, the few there be that find it. They're following the word of God. Jesus is the only way to heaven. But if not, if you don't want to rely on the Lord, do his will, you can rely on yourself, you're going to be prideful. Going to be lazy and wicked. It's a general application of that. Because fools despise wisdom and instruction. They're not fearing the Lord. They're not turning away from evil. And what happens before the fall? Pride. Pride goes before destruction. Pride goes before the fall. In chapter 26 and verse 12. In Proverbs 26 and verse 12 and then verse 16. The scripture says this. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? Well, we see lots of those, don't we? There is more hope for a fool than for him. You stop and you think about that, talking about the foolish concerning, do you see a man who's wise in his own eyes? He thinks he's smart. He thinks he's intelligent. There's more hope for a fool than that person. He's foolish. In verse 6, the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. He thinks he's smart in what he's doing. Prideful, lazy, wicked, evil. In Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah gives us this warning, these woes upon those who are wise in their own eyes. In Isaiah 5, verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and valiant men and mixing strong drink, who acquit the guilty for a bribe and deprive the innocent of his right. Therefore, as a tongue of fire devours a stubble, and as dry grass sinks down in the flame, so their root will be as rottenness, and their blossom go up like dust. Why is this going to happen? For they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts, and have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. For if they would have relied on the Lord instead of themselves, they would have turned away from evil, rather than suffering the consequences of their sins. Another question to ask, whether you know what you're relying on the Lord or relying on yourself, are you seeking and searching after the hidden treasures with all your heart? In Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understand. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, What is the promise of God if you do so? You think about those who are seeking, the idea of seeking after silver, they're seeking it diligently. This word for searching out is the idea of digging it out. You think about those who were willing to give up everything they had to go out west for the gold that they heard in California. And we think about the 49ers, 1849, they went out for that gold. They went out for that treasure. And as you think about concerning the word of God and the promise of that in the same way, even more so, are we seeking out and digging out the treasures, the hidden treasures are in God's word? For if we do, then verse 5, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You will find the knowledge of God. And he will say that, well, you just can't understand the word of God. You have to have a direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon your heart in order to understand the word of God. And that's foolish. That's a lie of the devil. When you read it, you can't understand it, but the whole thing is you've got to seek and search for it with all your heart. Are you doing that? Am I doing that? You think about Jesus and his parables and what he taught about the kingdom of heaven. Here's a treasure hidden in the field, and he found it, and he covered it up. What did he do? He sold it all in order to buy that field. And here's one who is a merchant. He's seeking fine pearls. He knows what he's looking for. So here's another that, hey, I wasn't looking for that, but here I found it. I'm so willing to sell all that. And here's one who is looking for it, searching for those fine pearls. And he found one pearl of great value, and he sold all that he had to buy it. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, are we digging out those treasures? For if we are, we will discern the fear of the Lord and understand the knowledge of God. Knowledge is going to be pleasant to your soul, and you will understand righteousness. And a continuation in verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up what? Sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Is knowledge pleasant to your soul, or is it because you've dealt with so much persecution from others who hate the word of God and would persecute you? Say, well, it isn't pleasing to me anymore. You should understand, as you look upon the word of God, as you're relying on the Lord, persecution is going to come, but you know what? Knowledge is pleasant to my soul because I know that God is with me and he wants me to have this wisdom. It is going to be pleasant to my soul. Doing wickedness is like sport to a fool, but it's pleasure to a man of understanding. Is it to you? Is it to me? Proverbs 10, verse 23. So the whole thing is that what are you laying up treasures for? Is it going to be here on earth or in heaven? Because moth and rust are going to destroy. Thieves are going to break through and steal. But those who stores up a treasure in heaven, moth and rust won't destroy. Thieves can't break through and steal it. But the whole thing is that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure? Because if you don't want to rely on the Lord and what he has spoken, what he said, we're going to desire earthly things. And as you think about the danger of that, say, well, I'm on the right path. I'm righteous. I'm doing the will of God. Don't think the devil is tricky. You think you're smarter than Solomon? Solomon, who, as you look upon David's instructions, and had the humility as a young man, you could have had riches and honor, asked for anything. No, I just asked for wisdom to judge this great people of thine. And remember that he was given riches and honor too. And here you think about Solomon. Here, in his older age, he went after women. And here, even though it had a good start, all his eyes desired, he did not refuse them. fulfilling any desire. Was he happy? Was he content? No, he wasn't. Life under the sun, book of Ecclesiastes, vanity, vexation of the spirit. It's striving after the wind. You can't hold on to it. And so what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and what? And forfeits his own soul. You get everything that you want. The Apostle Paul was warned in Philippians 3, verse 18 and 19. Many of these individuals, what was their problem? Whether God was their belly, what they desired, they physically desired, the things that they saw. And he said they were enemies of the cross of Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's where it should be. That's going to be demonstrated, relying on the Lord or yourself. And so we ask the question, are you obeying God with all of your heart? Are you doing that? In Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, the psalmist was, we've been reading from Psalm 119, the emphasis upon the word of God, as Brett had mentioned earlier. In Psalm 119, how can a young man keep his way pure? Is it possible? Yes, it is. By guarding it according to your word. Verse 10, here's the condition. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Do we have the attitude? Do you have the attitude of the psalmist? Are you seeking him with all of your heart, or giving a half-hearted effort? Are you having the desire, don't let me wander from your commandments? Because the whole thing is, you might say, well, I've got this pet sin. I don't want to give up. And it's just really just too hard. It's just really too hard to give up. I understand in our weaknesses we might fail, but we're going to repent and confess those sins, but we're not going to argue. Well, that's just, that's just something I just can't overcome. No. Verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not what? That I might not sin against you. What a conclusion of the whole matter of Solomon, as he had gone through everything. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Those the Apostle Paul was speaking in Romans 6, verses 16 through 18. Here they had obeyed the word from the heart. And thus were no longer slaves of sin, but slaves of righteousness. They were servants of righteousness, having been freed from sin. The only thing is to notice if you're relying on the Lord or upon yourself. If so, you'll repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and not argue concerning that, well, you know, baptism isn't necessary for salvation. Is that obeying God with all your heart? Or concerning what I think or what I feel or what I have been taught? And we must be faithful unto death. Should be learning to obey everything that Jesus had commanded, right? This is a lifelong experience. None of us can say, hey, we've gotten there. But we're continuing to rely on the Lord. We're obeying God with all of our heart. We're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're going to put away, we're going to repent and confess our sins, knowing that he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. But if not, if you don't want to do that and be faithful unto death, you'll be condemned. For after death comes a judgment. Our sin's going to go before the Lord in judgment in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 24. And no sin is going to enter into heaven in Revelation 21 and verse 27. So are you relying on the Lord or upon yourself? Are you listening to understand his word, or are you relying on what you think is right? Remembering that God's ways and thoughts are much higher than our ways and thoughts, and it's revealed in his word. There's no excuse. Unless a person doesn't have the mental capacity to understand at all. Are you fearing God and turning away from evil? Or are you prideful, lazy, and wicked like the world? And just doing, because if you don't fear God and turn away from evil, just like the Israelites, given all the warnings when they went into the land, the warnings about all these things that they're practicing, they'll be practicing these things. One of the people that write in our local newspaper was bragging about, or I don't know, maybe that's not the right word, 70% say that same-sex marriage is okay now. Are we going to go with the popularity argument And he was arguing against those who are really holding fast to the old-fashioned Bible teaching of the Word of God, which he doesn't agree with. That we're not loving and accepting. Going to go with the majority, because here the compromise among so many people because of this powerful lobby, fearing God and turning away from evil, because if I'm lazy, like in school, I'm going to cheat. I'm just going to try to get by like so many others and be wicked like the world. How sad and tragic to go down that path. Are you seeking after God's word like hidden treasures, or setting your mind on just earthly things that are going to perish in your life? Have you obeyed the gospel or need to be restored? The choice is yours. The lesson is yours. You examine yourself whether you're in the faith, whether you're relying on the Lord or relying on yourself. If you're subject to heaven's invitation, if you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, or you need to be restored, God calls. We encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.